And welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream and the fastest way is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook these days, and that's where you'll find all that great wild bird information and education that I've been posting from these great websites lately. And, boy, I'm learning a lot. I know you will, too, if you check them out. And find out how to make little warming cuddle up during the night stations for your wrens, like I discovered with mine this week. It was very cool. Alrighty, it is the 11 o'clock hour, and on Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday, we're talking to the folks that, help all kinds of animals all over the world and definitely keep us all informed of what's going on. And that would be Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Good morning, Merritt and Beth.
Good morning. Thanks for having us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure always to talk to you guys. And first thing I got to say, it be raining like you know what here, and it's been going all day. What's going on over on Whidbey Island? It raining or
it was, but we're actually seeing a little bit of sun.
It's
through the
trying
clouds
to
right
trying
now.
To break through. The sun is trying to break through.
Oh, well, all I see is gray and rain, but perhaps you could send it east to me a little bit. I'd like some of that sunshine.
Sure.
I have to get out and do Sunday chores, and that means scoop and poop, and I'd much rather do it when it's dry than in the rain.
Oh, I can relate to that.
Yep. All righty. So, gosh, you weren't here with us 2 weeks ago, but Beth, you had sent me an amazing story about Henry the Rooster and Arabella and him protecting his lady friend. And I read the story on the air, and boy, did we all get a kick out of that. I mean, Henry the Rooster, boy, he just rose to the occasion. And it sounds like he just really scared the you-know-what out of this coyote, because you guys had left your home and didn't get back before dusk. And so that you had left the chicken coop open, because I know you guys had built a really nice chicken coop. And apparently before you got home, a coyote thought he might have dinner at your chicken coop.
Big mistake.
The coyote trying to get out of the coop did enough damage. It took us the better part of an hour to fix the places he tried to run through and couldn't get through.
Right, because Henry scared him so bad that the coyote's just trying to go, and he's running into the wire fence around the coop and denting it. He's going at it so hard. So Henry must have just scared the you-know-what out of that coyote.
I know when the coyote came into... I wasn't there, and I don't have a camera.
Right.
But we surmised that they always go right into their house, which is secure, but there's a little door, which is very defensible by Henry.
Uh-huh.
It's a little door in their house, and then there's the coop run. So I suspect what happened was the coyote came into the coop run, and I don't think Henry even hesitated. He came right down that ramp. And he was going to give that coyote what for. He wound up with a bloody face, and everybody's all healed up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, his waddle, not his waddle, crest, whatever, had a few puncture wounds in it, but it healed. I didn't even have to treat it because he's a very healthy rooster, and he's good now. Everybody's good. The coyote hopefully learned his lesson. I always knew that anything that tried to hurt Arabella was going to get what for. I always knew Henry would not, if he had any control of it, like if it was a pack of coyotes, I don't think he could have done anything about it. But I always knew that he'd be the kind of rooster that would really protect his hens.
Well, that kind of makes sense, because what I'm saying is that because they kind of put themselves to bed at dusk anyway, and were probably already in their coop and in their little house, and then the coyote comes in, and if there's just a little door, that if Henry's head went out, that could be when he got bit on the head. Then Henry came out and went after the coyote, and that's when the coyote flipped its cookies and trying to bang, break through the wire to get out.
What you're saying is exactly right, because there was blood splatter, not to be gross, but really, the head bleeds, but he wasn't badly hurt. But there was blood splatter that I had to clean up all over the electric door. So that's exactly what happened.
Yep,
he stuck his head out. And either Arabella or Henry sit by the door until that door closes. At this point, it closes at 6:30 because it gets dark so fast.
Yeah. And then, of course, you learn from this experience, and you now know if you're going to leave home and not be home by dusk, that you'll put the chickens to bed early.
Yeah.
So it's not an issue.
The problem is herding them before they want to go. And Arabella is a drama queen. She will... She will do whatever it takes until she's ready. Even if Henry's exhausted from guarding her all day, he'll go into the house and he'll make little cooing noises to try to invite her. And she's just marching around the coop because she's not ready. And I'm sitting here like this, Arabella, nai-nai, Arabella, nai-nai. Finally, they actually do it. And then I can lock it up. But yes, no, we haven't left since that happened without making sure they're
And isn't it funny how, you know, we share these animal stories and what goes on with these animals in our lives, and I think we always learn something from them. But isn't it wonderful to see all these little animals have personalities and quirks and glitches? You know, and Arabella's a drama queen, and Henry is the force, you know, abominable force of protection. But you said Henry even will protect Arabella from you guys if she's being weird or something. So you have to be careful to and not push the buttons.
I can be bending over, giving them the most delicious food. We get food from all over the country for these chickens. All different kinds mixed up. And I can be bending over to put it down, and he'll go after me.
Roosters are something else, which is why a lot of people don't like roosters.
Yeah, that's why he dumped.
Well, and it also can lead us into, you know, because you report on all kinds of things about animals, you know, around the country, around the world. But one of the things that you do report on, of course, is the cockfighting. You know, the roosters fighting and the underground rings of fighting. But I think, you know, you guys have a firsthand example of why this fighting industry started, because roosters can be vicious. You know, and they have those spikes on the back of their legs, and they jump up and dig their spikes in you. They can be really brutal.
Roosters, and they were going after him, and he thought, well, have them go after each other. And then other people came around to watch.
Well, can I just add something here, Martha?
Sure.
There are cases where roosters get along fine with each other. It's when you insert the hen in there, and then the fun begins. But you can put a bunch of male roosters, including gamecocks, and they won't naturally fight with each other when it's a group of bachelors.
Just a group of roosters. Right. No girls around, but a group of roosters will get along?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, Olin, I'm curious, you know, when it comes to the fighting the roosters, how do they get them to fight with each other then?
Well, there is training, and this is starting to sound like dog fighting too.
Well, yeah.
You train their roosters.
The roosters have to be trained to fight each other.
No.
No?
No.
They're physically conditioned, but they have the spurs on them, so they'll actually fight to the death. Otherwise, what happens is one will break it off and run away in nature. And I've seen this in Puerto Rico and places in Asia. The roosters, feral roosters, they'll fight each other for a couple of seconds and run away. It's nothing like staged cockfight.
Right. But what the cockfighters do is they put blades on their leghorns. So, of course, you know, that's what cockfighting is about.
It's and what causes all the damage. But then they condition the roosters and then a fight that might just be one stronger than the other and the weak one goes away. That doesn't happen because they have these razor blades on their, you know, legs.
On the other hand, some roosters get along better with other roosters, just like you can't. Some roosters are more aggressive than other roosters. They have personalities, like you were saying. So they can fight, but they're not going to fight to the death like you see in these cockfights.
Okay. So, well, I guess we can... Henry has been successful. He continues to be the warlord at the chicken coop and area, and you have just figured out how to keep in his good graces, and sometimes you even have to put up with him anyway. But I'm glad he survived, and everything is great, and he's healed up and excellent. So what do we got on our list today we need to cover?
Well, a couple things with local angles. One of them is that the founder of Wild Burro Rescue, Gene Chontos, recently died. He was 87 years old. People may remember that he and his wife, Diana, had rescued a large number of burros that were going to be killed by the National Park Service, brought them up to their compound on Alaska in Washington here in the hills, and operated the sanctuary there for about 15 years or so before Gene and Diana split. and relocated the sanctuary to Olancha, California, where about 18 years after that, it came to grief and was dissolved and taken over by an organization called Peaceful Valley. But Gene was quite a character, and he was involved in a number of things, including penal reform and campaigning against to make marijuana legal, a number of other things besides Borough Rescue. But really what he was best known for was Borough Rescue. And as mentioned, he passed on and we did a big obituary for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing with the local angle is that a young woman named Piper James from Campbell River, British Columbia, not too far north of the border here, was killed about 2 weeks ago in an incident with dingoes at Cagari, also known as Fraser Island, off the coast of Queensland, Australia. That case raises a number of issues that also occur with coyotes and wolves. The gist of it is that they don't normally mess with people unless people start feeding them.
Right. Well, so, but this she was killed by coyotes.
By dingoes.
By dingoes. Dingoes. Okay. And that seems like that's a really unusual thing.
It is very unusual. There have only been three people known to have been killed by dingoes, a possible fourth, in the last 35 years.
Wow.
Meryl Streep made a film, A Cry in the Dark, about the first such case back in 1980.
Ah.
A woman named Lindy Chamberlain, who had, for a short period of time, left her baby in their tent at a campground at Ayers Rock.
Oh.
And a dingo got in and grabbed her baby. She saw that and ran after it and screamed, and other people gave pursuit. But she was nonetheless actually convicted of murder and served 3 years before discovery of some of the baby's clothes led to her being exonerated. The clothes were at a dingo den. Buried.
They accused the woman of doing something to her baby and blaming it on dingoes when in fact it really was a dingo.
It really was a dingo. But that was the first known fatality involving a dingo. Then,
but that was the baby, not that, the. Gotcha. Okay.
Then the other two cases involving wild dingoes and the possible third case where only remains were found all took place on Cagari, which is a 700-mile square isle, not 700.
It's a resort
square
area.
Mile.
Resort.
Resort area off the coast of Queensland. It's the largest sand island in the world, and it's very popular with beachgoers and surfers and joggers and so forth. But it also has a population ranging between about 120 and 200 dingoes. A dingo is a wild dog, very much like a coyote. And it's also the home of indigenous Australian colony, too, to whom the dingoes, who they call Wangari, are a sacred animal.
Ah, okay.
End of the purest genetics that are out there as far as dingoes go.
So it's sort of a three-way fight going on among the indigenous people who just as soon all the honkies disappeared. And the businesses, and it's one of the economic engines for Queensland, so it's not just for that area. It's a economically important location for the whole state. And the tourists who want to visit and have a good time, and the conservationists who want to preserve these dingoes who they see as being purer, less hybridized with domestic dogs, than all the other dingoes that roam over the entire continent of Australia.
And as often is the case in Florida, too, you shouldn't feed the wildlife, but they do feed the wildlife.
And so you think that's what is precipitating the dingo going after human? Because you said that a dingo actually killed this woman.
Right. What happened, the dingoes have a hunting method they use to hunt wallabies, where they chase the wallabies into the surf. The wallabies drown, and then the dingoes retrieve and eat the body.
Oh.
What it looks like happened with Piper James is she went out at dawn, which she had been doing for several days. She worked at a hostel nearby, and what is suspected happened is she was taking scraps to feed the dingoes,
This is all suspicion, but a very good chance of it.
Yeah, it's basically educated suspicion. She went to an area where there's a famous shipwreck. It's been there since 1935, and the currents around there are very dangerous, so it's supposed to be off limits to swimmers. But she was apparently in the habit of going down there and possibly feeding the dingoes, definitely swimming. And on this occasion, she was apparently surrounded by dingoes, bitten several times by dingoes, apparently fled into the surf, drowned. Her remains were apparently then washed ashore. And some guys came by in a Jeep and saw this unusual group of dingoes clustering there on the beach near the wreck. They went down to see what was going on, and they found her body surrounded by the dingoes with
wow.
quite a number of post-mortem bites. Apparently, the dingoes were starting to feast on her remains. But
here's the thing, they do that. Anything that swims up, a dead turtle, a dead whale.
That's what they do.
They go eat. That's their food. So they weren't looking at it as this is a human being.
Right.
It was a meal.
Well, but you know, it brings to light that something that I'm also noticing, because the dingoes are very similar to coyotes, right? And I've had a relationship with coyotes for a lot of years in my life when I've lived in areas where they are. And back when I lived in Kirkland and the Bridal Trails area and rode all the time, I mean, I had wonderful experiences with coyotes. I talked to them and they stayed away from my property, but we would go out and Chowie Golden would be riding with me, and we'd ride when we got to the area where the coyote dens were. The coyotes would run out and greet Robbie, and he would become the leader, and they'd file in like a like geese. They'd come behind, and I'd be running somewhere on my horse. Chowie'd be running like crazy behind me, and then he'd have a line of coyotes, a group, you know, his pack, running behind him. And they would ride with us, you know, through their territory. And when we got to the end of their territory, they'd stop. And then when we came back, they'd pick us up again and escort us back through their territory. But you know, I've always had kind of nice relationships with them. But and my experience is that they would usually always be easily intimidatable. I had a cat on my farm that could, you know, scare any coyote off, kind of like Henry the Rooster and the coyote. My cats could do the same thing. This cat would fire up and hair stitch out and then would yowl and run straight at them and jump on their back. You know, yep. Of course, anyway, but, you know, nowadays, the behavior of the coyotes around civilization here in the cities, the behavior's changing. They're getting way more comfortable with people, way more comfortable with domestic animals. They're out at times of day that they shouldn't be. And they don't anyway, I don't feel comfortable at all anymore advising people that, oh, you don't have to be concerned. You do have to be concerned.
Yes.
About this. And you're saying a lot of the problem is humans feeding these wild animals, that we really shouldn't be doing that because it's changing their patterns.
Exactly. What's happened on Kigari, and I have to mention that practically all of the severe attacks by dingoes over the last 30 years have occurred on Kigari, not on the mainland of Australia, which is vastly larger. But on Kigari, the studies are showing that almost half of the total dingo food supply is either human waste or things that people give them deliberately to lure them close enough for a photograph. And what this has had the effect of doing is doubling the population from what appears to be the natural carrying capacity of about 120 up to around 200. Now, several times in the past, after there have been bad attacks, the Australian government has brought people in who have shot the coyote population back down to about 120, and then they don't have any problems for a few years till the population comes up to about 200. Well, when the population comes up to about 200, it's intensifying the food competition among these dingoes, who come to rely much more on the human handouts and have thereby much more contact with humans, and become more aggressive in getting the food. And then you have another incident, and you end up getting, like has happened now, another group of dingoes shot. The logical solution to me would be to use spay neuter to keep the coyote pop, not the coyote, the dingo population at around the natural carrying capacity, 120, maybe 150, but yeah. don't allow it to get so big that you get food competition that drives the dingoes into greater contact with the people. And meanwhile, you've got to educate the people, don't feed the wildlife. It's like here in the U.S., we had 60 years of education with Boo Boo and Yogi to get people to stop feeding bears and stop having bear attacks.
Anna Barbara.
Wow.
Bear.
But I suspect, see, we really need to be harping on this around here because so many people still feed the coyotes. And I know my mom was guilty of it when, you know, we lived in Laurelhurst. My folks belonged to Sandpoint Golf and Country Club. My mom had always had a bag of dog food in her golf bag because when she'd play golf, she'd go off to the ravine and put food out for the coyotes. You know, and there are a lot of people that do that sort of thing. But one problem with that is when the food supply for a species goes up in the area, they start making more babies, and the population grows because the food is there. I learned that when I had wild pigeons in my arena, and I found a dead one, and I took it to be examined. They said it starved to death, so I started feeding the pigeons. Oh, for crying out loud. Before I realized it, I had 200 pigeons living in my arena. I had to call on Mother Nature and send somebody to help me here. I really made a mistake. I stopped feeding the pigeons, and they sent in a barn owl, and my population was controlled. But my goodness, you know, so feeding the coyotes, yes, it might feed that one coyote and give them a snack, but it makes them want to breed more. When there's more food, there's more familiarity with humans. And now humans are maybe showing up on their menu. You know, I mean, we were having some coyotes biting kids or trying to drag them off. And we really have to heed the messages and not be feeding the wildlife. And anyway, I appreciate all of that. I wish we had more time, but we're out of time. I look forward to the next time we communicate. Nathan, we have our we're ready to go with our next interview. So Merritt and Beth, thank you so much for all the great work you do. Remember, folks, it's animals24-7.org. Please go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, then you'll stay informed of everything like I do, and send a donation if you can, because I swear Merritt and Beth, they don't sleep. They're just always doing animals, and they know everything about everything. So I appreciate you so much, and I look forward to our next discussion. Talk to you again. Oh, I should look
Thank
at that.
Martha. Thank you, Nathan.
All righty. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take care of advertisers real quick and then switch gears and address the human animal and biggest class of the year coming up. We'll be talking about it. Ananda Institute of Living Yoga is next. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Sitter from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan. Join us on Talk Cosmos for the Saturn-Neptune-Aries Awakening. This unique and rare cosmic reset at 0 degrees Aries last happened in 4361 before Common Era. Now igniting a new world consciousness, evolving deep connections between traditional notions of the seen with the unseen's limitless nature of the infinite. Journey with Talk Cosmos Sunday, February 1st, 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Real people, real life, real radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And heard from the wonderful Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and that is who we are going to talk to right now. And if I understand correct, one of my favorite people to chat with here on Animal World is back with us, and that's Kevin Hart. Good morning, Kevin, and welcome back to Animal World.
Good morning, Martha. How are you today?
Well, I'm pretty good, and I'm delighted to hear your voice. I guess CETA was successful in talking you into talking to me today, huh?
Hey, it's an easy sell.
All right. Well, I hope so, because I love talking with you. You're, have great stories that we don't often get to, and maybe we will today. But we've got stuff coming up at Ananda. You know, we got a whole new year starting here. And I think our biggest focus today is the biggest class of the year coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, the Art and Science of Raja Yoga. Yes, definitely. It's the most popular course that we offer, and it's starting on February 12th this year.
I've got my cheat sheet here, so I've got some details here. And I have to say that this is where my path started with Ananda. And I don't know if you and I have ever talked about this, Kevin, but how I got started is, our friend Krista Gibson, who, started the New Spirit Journal and the New Times metaphysical newspapers here in the area and is so involved in the spiritual world. Well, Krista and I have been dear friends for decades. And I had a spiritual teacher that I studied with and so forth, and that kind of fell apart. So I didn't have a home. And Krista decided it was time that she wanted to do Kriya Yoga. And I said, well, I'd like to do that too, because we both knew about Kriya Yoga from reading the autobiography of a yogi. And so Krista said, well, yeah, let's do it. So she and I started with Ananda with this particular class, the Art and Science of Raja Yoga. And the reason we started with that is because, isn't it correct, Kevin, if you want to learn the practice of Kriya Yoga, which I can tell, is a breath technique that's done with meditation, and it dramatically helps you move through your stuff and raise your vibration and, elevate ourselves spiritually. This is like the fast way to go. But it takes some training and some education to prepare yourself and your body to be able to do this. And so the beginning is this education, the Art and Science of Raja Yoga. And once you get through all of this, then you do the Kriya preparation, and then you're ready to be initiated and learn the practice. So that's how I got started. And of course, once we got started with the classes and all of that, I, of course, fell in love with Ananda and all of, and they have become my spiritual family and master, my guru, and oh, what a difference. Kriya Yoga and all of that starts. And now I wonder, Kevin, I know that you also, I think, maybe your connection with Ananda kind of came through Krista, because I know you worked with Krista early on with your book and so forth. Is that correct?
Well, it's correct that I worked with Krista early on with my book. And at that time, so that was back around, let's see, that book was released in 2015. And that's right about the same time I took Kriya. So I had found Ananda a little bit sooner than that. And in fact, I think it was the other way around. I think I met Krista through Ananda.
That makes sense. And yeah, and I thought you'd be a perfect person to talk about, you know, the Raja Yoga and moving in, you know, and the prep work for Kriya and all that sort of stuff, because you can really resonate or commiserate or whatever with people that are having a difficult time with life right now. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And something that you had mentioned when you were talking about Kriya, and you mentioned that it's a breath technique. And that's true, but in a deeper sense. So the word prana, many people know the word prana.
Yeah.
It's said at many yoga classes across the nation. And prana, if you're looking at the yogic teachings, prana actually has a threefold meaning. And it means breath for sure, but it also means life and energy. And so when you're talking, and so Kriya is in a sense a pranayama, not entirely, but we've all heard the term pranayama, and usually that is referred to like breath techniques, and that's
right,
because we're working with the breath. But if you break down the word pranayama, if prana means life, breath, and energy, yama means control. So in a deeper sense, what you're actually doing, so it's actually life force control is how we look at it.
Wow.
And so the wonderful thing about in Kriya Yoga, I mean, if you read autobiography of a yogi, you see that these yogis have mastered life force control to a way that is sometimes boggling to the intellectual mind, because these yogis are bilocating and being buried in the ground for months at a time with a guard standing out front, and then being exhumed and bringing their life force back into their body. You know, extreme life force control. Their pranayama is excellent. And so in a sense, when we do something like the art and science of Raja Yoga, we might think, well, I'd like to learn more about yoga. And what you said, you know, you feel out of control. Oh, my life's got this problem and that problem, and I've got all these things going on. Why does this keep happening to me? In a sense, what we're saying is, I want to learn how to control my life force more efficiently, more to bring me the experiences that I really want to have, and stop creating experiences that I really don't want to have. So in a sense, the art and science of Raja Yoga is an immersion into that art and science of how to do that.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Let's see, the art and science of Raja Yoga, 3 months intensive in meditation, yoga, and the Eightfold Path.
Yes.
So it really is. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm the one that should keep my mouth shut. I'd rather hear what you have to say.
Well,
the Eightfold Path, you were going to expand.
Well, it's just the Eightfold Path is what's known as Ashtanga Yoga. And Ashtanga Yoga is, people think that's many different things, including a sequence of yoga postures, which there's a style of yoga called Ashtanga Yoga, which refers directly to yoga postures. But in this sense, the Eightfold Path is a much deeper path, and in fact one of the folds of the Eightfold Path is pranayama, and there's many other ones in there, such as yama and niyama, which is basically observances, like the things that we can do to live our life in a way that helps us to gain better control in the way that we just talked about. And then it gets into asana, which, you know, posture. And then it goes on into some deeper aspects of interiorization, and then meditation, different aspects of meditation. So it's an entire way of life. It's the classical yoga way of life, as is based in the Patanjali Yoga Sutras.
Wonderful. And is the class still in two parts? It used to be that the first part of the class would be the Hatha Yoga, which is the postures, the physical type yoga. And then the second half of the class is the Raja, you know, and more the meditation and educational part of the class. Does it still work that way?
Yes, it does. So if you like, I can give a quick little kind of a little overview of what an evening would entail.
Please. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so as you mentioned, the first hour, maybe a little bit over an hour, is the Hatha Yoga portion, where we do yoga postures together. We do some centering, some pranayama, and then we do some yoga postures, and then there's a break, and then we do...
Okay, now time out just for a minute. For anybody that right now is thinking, oh, but Kevin, I can't do yoga postures.
Yeah.
But there are ways to work with that, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. And the teachers are all excellent at working with all different body types, limitations, modifications. I mean, that's the whole sort of Bob, the sort of spiritual attitude of that class is yoga is for everybody, like we always say. And there's no body that can't do yoga to some degree. I mean, even if it's seated in a chair doing the postures, there's always an option given for that.
Yeah, now, so don't let that stop you. Listen to the rest of what Kevin has to say, because anybody can do some form of the physical yoga. Okay,
yes.
So continue
actually,
with your... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So it's funny because talking about this, the textbook for the Art and Science of Raja Yoga is called the Art and Science of Raja Yoga, and it's done in 14 steps, and it addresses pretty much all of these things, and so do the teachers that teach the class address all of these things. Now, I want to say that the Hatha Yoga portion is not mandatory, and it's also, all these classes are hybrid, so you can do it on Zoom, and you could, you know, do the postures to the best of your ability, or just, you know, adjust as much as you need to. That is to say, not do the postures if it's not feeling right for you, and you can just observe and see how it goes, but you still will get the magnetism from the class itself.
So, wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. And then there's a break, and then during the break we have snacks and, you know, whatever else needs to happen. And then we begin the next segment. I think it's about 7:30, right around 7:30. And we begin with some chanting and then some pranayama, some of these breath techniques like we talked about, these energy control techniques, and then a meditation. And then there's a talk, and it's not like somebody talking to the people who are taking it. It's an interactive discussion. So we're talking together, but the person that's giving it usually has a lot of really awesome things to say, and they're immersed in the teachings and they're living those teachings, so they know how to talk about them in a way that is, you know, very very deep and very informative, and it can help us to have a trajectory for our own lives where we see, oh my gosh, I didn't think about it. Let me practice this. And then we go home and we practice these things and come back the next week and we get to talk about, oh, I had this breakthrough and I was practicing this thing and here's what happened. It's a wonderful immersion and chance to get together.
All right. Okay, I'm looking at the clock. We need to take care of advertisers here before we run out of time. So we're going to put you on hold just for a moment, Kevin. We'll take care of our advertisers. We'll come back, and then we'll discuss more about the art and science of Raja Yoga and the schedule and how you can get signed up and all that good stuff. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Self-help, healing, spirituality, and more on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World. But we're here till noon and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful NuPro supplements. Just remember, it's N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Check them out. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Just a little side talk here. Don't listen to the, you don't need to pay attention to this. I'm talking to Nathan. If you leave it blurred, just make sure you unblur before we get to the top of the hour because I can't see the clock. Thank you. All right. So we are in the middle of a conversation with Kevin Hart from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. We are talking about the biggest class of the year and where I started with Ananda. Great place for you to start as well, especially if you'd like to do the Kriya Yoga. It's called the Art and Science of Living, the Art and Science of Raja Yoga. And it is a 3 months intensive in meditation, yoga, and the Eightfold Path. Kevin's been doing a great job of explaining that to us. So, Kevin, you're still with me, aren't you? All righty. Yeah. And I want to follow up on what we started. As I said, I'd like to talk to Kevin about this because he can relate to so many people that struggle with life here on planet Earth. And can we share a little bit about your book?
Sure.
Okay, because Kevin, you came out of the world of addiction, right? And yes. And you wrote this book, and if I remember right, 1,000 Screaming Monkeys, is that correct?
Yes, that's what it's called.
Okay, and that's your story of what you've been through, right?
Yes, it's funny that book and that whole immersion was something that, you know, where I was just a regular drug addict, alcoholic for the first 38 years of my life, and I didn't know anything about yoga or anything about spirituality or higher power or anything. And so, you know, when that life got to a place where I was just utterly desperate and could not live my life anymore, I asked God for help. Just a simple, I say it's simple, it was a simple prayer, but it was in the midst of great suffering. I just said, please help me, you know, please help me if there is a God. And just immediately was overcome with the experience of God, the presence of God, peace.
Wow.
And I never felt that before in my life. And so, you know, really from that point on, I decided it was at a drug and alcohol treatment center that I made that prayer. And then I just made this decision. I was going to let these people help me. So I went inside and I just started to let people help me. And I was still, you know, mired in lying and all the things that are, you know, alcoholics are prone to doing, just, you know, completely delusional. And so what happened was all these people kept showing up in my life to help me. It was amazing. It was like God put these people in my life, wonderful, wonderful people. And they were everywhere. I just never saw them before. And they all were willing to help me in the same way that we talked about how Raja can help, because I was just open-minded enough to where the things that they said, I could finally hear them. And then I'd practice them and my life would change. And I'd be like, wow. So many of those things happened. And I was introduced to things like sweat lodge ceremonies and all kinds of spiritual things that just opened my heart and my mind. And so the book really is sort of, looking back on it now, I didn't realize at the time I was writing it, but it's sort of a way that I could say thank you to God, to all the people that showed up, and to talk about them and their lives in a way that that says when we open up that way, all this help just comes pouring in. It's amazing how it works.
Wow.
So that's
we just had this discussion earlier in the show today. You know, you need help, ask, you know. And I told you the story of the birds and that big experience I had last week. And I asked, and then boom, I open up Facebook. There's my answer. Kevin asked. That's all you have to do. And it all came pouring in. Now, is your book still available? So people out there, oh boy, I know a friend that could really use that kind of a book. You know, it's Thousand Screaming Monkeys, Kevin Hart. Can you get it like on Amazon and regular places?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
so it's still, and now would you say then, because we're almost out of time, but would you say your practice now of Raja and Kriya Yoga and the spiritual grounding and foundation that you've built through Ananda with all of this, is that what keeps you centered and grounded and out of that world of addiction? So this would help others as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, it's one of the 12 steps. You know, I very much believe in the 12 steps, and they work in my life in such a wonderful way. And one of the steps, step 11, you know, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Yoga helped me to understand God in a way that just, it made so much sense. Like one of my very favorite people that came into my life, as I talked about, was Duke. And Duke used to always say, my heart heard what my head couldn't. And yoga spoke to me in a way where something inside of me heard truth in a way that my intellectual mind could not even grasp. In fact, it argued with it. But when I opened my heart to it and started to practice these things, my life kept changing. So yes, what you asked me, absolutely. It keeps me absolutely in tune with that higher power, with God. And yoga, people think yoga means yoga postures, but it actually means union. Union with the divine. That's the whole essence of yoga.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Union with the divine. And there's different kinds. Hatha yoga is the physical part, but then there's Raja yoga. There's Kriya yoga. Kevin mentioned some other forms of yoga. So there's lots of things to learn. And if you aren't inspired by Kevin's story, I don't know what will. But if you know of someone that, boy, they really could use this, or you're thinking, I could use this. I want to be where you guys are. The class is coming up. You can find Kevin's book. It would make a great gift to someone. Thousand Screaming Monkeys, Kevin Hart, and it's H-A-R-T, right? Is your last name, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, Kevin Hart, H-A-R-T. Find it on Amazon. And then The Art and Science of Raja Yoga, the 3-month intensive in meditation yoga and the Eightfold Path. It begins on Thursday, February 12th. As Kevin said, you can take it in person. And this would be, what, at the Yoga Hall or Blue Lotus Temple? Anyway,
the Blue Lotus Temple, there's 13 Thursdays. It runs through May 7th, and you can do it, as I said, you can do it live or you can do it online.
And then my little notes are my cheat sheet here. Kevin says, if you register early by January 11th, you can get $35 off. So you can save $35 if you sign up for the class before January 11th, but it actually starts on February 12th, and you said it goes through May sometime?
Yes, it goes, I think May 7th is the last one.
All right.
Actually, the one thing it includes is that we have a nice Saturday retreat that we do, and it's very wonderful.
Ah, great. Great. That's fantastic. Well, Kevin, just thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. And I know your story is going to touch the hearts of someone out there that needs help, and they'll find their way. So be sure you check it out. The Art and Science of Raja Yoga begins February 11th. If you sign up by the January 11th, you can save $35. And you can sign up through the Ananda website, anandawashington.org. Or you can always call the Blue Lotus Temple. And that number is 425-806-3700. 425-806-3700. Kevin, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And I look forward to the next time we get to chat.
Awesome. And can I say one more thing?
Totally. Yeah.
If there's any yoga teachers that are interested, we also have a yoga teacher training coming up. And this one starts in April. And it starts, I think, April 7th. And so anybody that wants to take a regular 200-hour teacher training, it's a completely standalone course. So you can become a certified yoga teacher through the Yoga Alliance and be able to, teach yoga or just improve your own practice if that's what you'd rather do than teach.
Yep, and that Ananda Yoga teacher training, and remember, Ananda Yoga is different than other yoga, regular. It's much more spiritual, in my opinion. The teacher training goes from April to August, 9 weekends between those dates. You can check that out also at anandawashington.org. Kevin, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I look forward to the next time we get to chat.
Thank you, Martha. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, right. And say, and you love on those little dachshunds of yours for Aunt Martha. Kevin
sure
has the cutest dachshunds on the planet. And dachshunds are different with him. You know, dachshunds can be really challenging for me as a behavior therapist, but Kevin has perfect dachshunds. They're so cute. Anyway, you love those dogs for me, and we'll talk again soon. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, so we wraps up another Sunday Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. You can listen again on the archives at marthanorwalk.com later if you like. And next week is our energy balancing show with Linda Rasmussen. She'll be here. We'll take your calls, and she'll work with you and our animal friends. Hope you can join us. Nathan, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your afternoon, and think good thoughts for those Seahawks, and we'll be cheering them on next week. So join us for Super Bowl Sunday right here on Animal World. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family, and please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.